Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the cleft in the rock, the cliff in the rock that Moses was looking through in order to see the face of God. And as we were looking through the different words in the last show, we were seeing that he wanted to see the glory of God, the honor of God, the character of God, the face of God. And God said, "You can't see my face. No man can live and see my face." Does that mean we will never see the face of God? Well, probably it does mean that. We never see entirely the face of God because God is infinite and we are not. So that we might as well just get used to that. But we can see more and more of God. But in order to see more and more of God, we must see more and more of ourselves, because the kingdom of heaven is within us. And if we do not clean out our own house, evil will come in and distort our thinking and distort our bodies and distort the way in which we walk upon the earth, because it will lead us and guide us and manipulate us so that we do not really follow Christ. We may say we follow Christ, we may say that we worship God, but we will be taking His name in vain, and we must repent of taking His name in vain by actually being willing to see that we are naked, that we are sinners, and we must come face to face with that. And that's what Moses had already been doing that for years, gave up all the comforts of Egypt for years, and lived out in the wilderness tending sheep and praying daily to know God, know the will of God, know the ways of God. And God saw that and gave him a message to take back and a mission to take back to free the people. Not everybody. Those who would repent and follow the ways of God, which Moses came to teach them. And that's why we're here, to teach you the ways of God as we see it. But hopefully, as you begin to see it, when you turn away from the ways of the world. What are the ways of the world? The ways of the world is covetous ways. And Jesus said, you know, you're not to be like the benefactors of the world, of the other nations, of the other, you know, the Gentiles, which means other nations. He came to preach to his nation, his people, who would hear his voice. And we are preaching to nobody but those who were willing to hear his voice. Those who don't want to hear his voice, we're not preaching to you. We're not talking to you. And neither was Paul talking to you. When he said we, he didn't mean you, because you don't hear the voice of Christ. How do I know you don't hear the voice of Christ? I know some of you probably are beginning to, but I know some of you out there who think you hear the voice of Christ are actually workers of iniquity. You may want to save yourself. You may want to get out of the wicked, evil system of Babylon. You may want to, you know, get out of this thing or that thing. But do you come to save others? Or do you come just to save yourself? Because if you come to save yourself and not save others, well, you don't have anything in common with Christ. You don't know Christ. You don't worship God. You evidently have the character of Satan. Satan doesn't come to save others. Except for himself. He will turn men into bread for himself. But Jesus would not. He would not turn stones into bread for himself, because he did not live off the life and blood of others, like people do today, in their covetous ways, in their covetous practices. Yet calling themselves Christians, they curse their children, according to Peter. They themselves have become merchandise. And some people feel the sting of that, and they want out of that system. But they don't want in the system of God. They don't want to follow the ways of God. They don't want to be self-sacrificing. Now, where do you begin self-sacrifice? First, you have to see yourself as you really are. You have to see yourself as naked as you really are, as unforgiving as you really are, as selfish as you really are. You cannot sacrifice yourself as your own priest. God will show you what you need to sacrifice. You know, we can wear our sacrifice, you know. I mean, we were talking about it the other day, the guys who go around in ancient times, not always that ancient, I guess. We've seen it in some movies even. What was the one with, I can't even remember the name of the movie, but it had Hanks in the movie. But anyway, had the guy, I really liked the actor, but anyway, he was flailing himself and, you know, with whips and stuff like this, and he was this monk and everything. Da Vinci Code, there you go. I'm terrible at remembering names. Da Vinci Codes, and the actor was the actor in Knight's Tale who played Chaucer, and he was whipping himself and beating himself, and this is actually an egotistical thing to do. God does not want you to beat yourself up. First person you have to forgive, like I said before in the last show, is you. And realize, yeah, I'm a sinner. I don't have the right to judge myself even. Any judgment of yourself or others is an usurpation of God. Stop judging others. Stop judging yourself. You're naked. You're a sinner. Write it down. Let it go. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek to do righteousness. Seek to know what that means to do righteousness. In order to know what that means to be righteous, you must see your sin. Not to judge it, but to let it go. Let God be the judge. You must see your relationships with others. Is there anybody you're afraid to be in the room with? Is there anybody you avoid because they make you feel uncomfortable? Why do they make you feel uncomfortable? If God has given us dominion, why is there any place you feel uncomfortable? You should be able to walk into the pits of hell and make them feel uncomfortable by your presence, because you're walking in filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't any room in you for the Holy Spirit. Because you got all this stuff against other people. You got all this unforgiveness in you. You're angry with this person. You're angry with that person. And that one didn't treat you right. And that one, you know, whatever. I don't know. You guys have so many different things that will keep you out of the kingdom that I would spend my entire life listing them all off. I can't even look at them. They're not even of interest to me. But they are of interest to you only so that you can let them go and turn around. And living life like what Christ said, you will be flailed enough. You don't need to flail yourself. You know, you don't need to make yourself uncomfortable. Facing the truth about yourself will make you uncomfortable enough. But when you see it, you know, remember that old game we used to play in school where you would take your hands and kind of cup them and you'd hold your two fingers, your fingers together from your two hands, and you'd pull them apart and they say, pull, 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 pull for several minutes. And then they say, okay, now stop and slowly open up your fingers. And when you tried to do it, they like they were locked. You couldn't do it. You couldn't open your fingers up. Because you had made this mental map and there are the fingers pulling tight, and now you had to unlock that. And your fingers were bound almost together. When you slowly try to move them, you couldn't hardly move them. And it's just a little trick we play on ourselves with our own mind and our own bodies. But the same principle is applied to your unforgiveness. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven, because you have a place in your heart where the spirit of unforgiveness may dwell, and he will not let you go. This is how you clean out your temple. Let it go. Go back and face the people that you have not forgiven and embrace them with the Holy Spirit. Now, can you do that? Probably not. But if you try to do that, knowing what your mission is, you may be able to do that. All of you have somebody that you think has done you unjustly. You need to forgive that person so that your heart can be opened up and the Holy Spirit can dwell in you. And then when the Holy Spirit dwells in that room of your heart, you can go out and help somebody else. Not you, but the Holy Spirit in you help them, because it is only the Holy Spirit in you that can reveal the truth to others. Because you don't want others listening to you. You want others listening to the Holy Spirit too. This is what makes us brothers and sisters in spirit. And forgiveness is just one part. That's one room in your Father's house, which is you. Giving is another room. I see so much giving that has no mercy in it, has no justice in it. Remember, we're supposed to attend to what? The weightier matters. What are the weightier matters, all you students of the truth? Law, judgment, mercy, faith. These are the weightier matters that you need to be tending to. Well, if you give foolishly, you do not give justly. If you give where you should not give, you do not give with mercy. So learning to give, just giving up, is flailing yourself. You must give up according to the Spirit of God. Christ sat and ate and feasted, evidently, with people of the night and tax collectors and other abominable people. Probably had some politicians there. And they accused him of doing, you should be fasting. But they didn't understand the Old Testament, what fasting was really about. Now, there is a physical fasting from food, and it can be of value to you. But I've seen men hurt themselves physically for years, actually put themselves into wheelchairs, crippling themselves with a zealous fasting, trying to fast for 40 days, crippled themselves, absolutely became an invalid. They slowly got back. I don't know what condition they're in right now, but for a long time they were crippled. That's vanity. The first thing you need to fast from is vanity. You know, there's a physical value in fasting occasionally in your body, cleansing your body, you know, getting off a meat diet for a period of time and doing that every so often so that you clean out the body. And, you know, you can clean out different parts of the body, gallbladder cleanses and things like that. And that's just good, you know, just like cleaning in your own house. I know people, their houses are just spick and span all the time, but their souls are full of filth. And sometimes that cleaning out is a substitute. But then I know people that their souls are full of light and their house is pretty clean too. By their nature, it's just going to get clean. It's not obsessive. But it's a reflection of who they are. And same as I've seen houses all full of filth and dirt and rats and everything else, and so are their hearts. Because their unkemptness is a reflection of the spirit that dwells within them. So what spirit is dwelling within you? Each of you out there listening to this show, listening to this recording, what spirit dwelleth in you? Is the spirit of Christ or the spirit of vanity? Are you proud of your religion? Are you proud of your beliefs? Are you humble about them? I don't know anything except that God revealed it to me. I know some things that God didn't reveal to me, but that's just trash. But what I know about God that He has revealed to me, that's good. It's up to you to figure out which one I'm talking at a given moment. That's an interesting thing, is that people, when they listen to me, they hear different things. I've heard people say, well, you said this, and I said, I never said that. And they said, yeah, you did. And that actually, one case where the person actually found the recording, and he said, but what you're saying I'm saying there is not the words I'm saying. You've twisted it. He couldn't see how he's twisting the words that I said to mean something other, and then he repeats them back, paraphrases it, but that's not what I was talking about. And if you followed farther in the conversation, you would hear that, no, I'm saying exactly the opposite of what you've determined. But he didn't hear that part. You know, that's the problem with language. I can describe part of the elephant over here, part of the elephant over here. If you leave out certain parts, you're not going to have a clear picture of the elephant. And you need that. You know, it's like dreams, symbols in dreams. We have dreams. Somebody was talking to me about dreams they had, or at least communicating with me about it. The dreams are messages from sometimes. Sometimes they're a piece of moldy cheese, but sometimes they're messages from deep inside yourself, from maybe in the realm of the spirit of yourself. And I don't want you believing in dreams, but there may be a message sometimes in your dreams that are trying to tell you about some conflict that you're not willing to look at in your conscious mind. But if you live your life according to the ways of Christ, which is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will come face to face with those elements in your spiritual being that you're not willing to see. And you need to see them so that they may heal, so that you may have an opening in your heart for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, but you are full of religious garbage. Lots of religious garbage. Lots of ideas and beliefs that are simply not true, that have been put in there because you thought you needed them. You only need that light of the Spirit. Back to that analogy I gave in the last show with the hole in the wall, and you see the light through it, and the light lights up the room, and you see around you that you're in a quagmire of evil, and the system is wicked and controlling and murdering and killing millions of babies and poisoning people. Somebody just was telling me, now I'm not going to remember the name of the disease, but had to do with cervical cancer, I think, and they had a shot. This was going to prevent this form of cancer, and they've been giving it to thousands of women, and they're finding out that more women are dying who get the shot than those who don't get the shot. The shot is literally killing them. And, you know, we've seen this with lots of other drugs in the past. They covered up. It's bad press to find out that the drug that's supposed to be saving you from an extremely rare disease is actually killing lots and lots of people. And of course, if the truth be known, you'll find this with many vaccinations. Yes, there are diseases that, you know, viruses and plagues that can come about and kill lots and lots of people. But what is the cost of taking vaccinations in all these people? I mean, the AMA itself has come out and said that people have ready access to antibiotics are poorer in health than those people who simply develop an immunity. But by the same token, many people will die if you don't have any of these antibiotics, because a lot of people have died from pneumonia and what have you. Of course, that doesn't mean that the only resource you have is antibiotics. And it doesn't mean that the overuse of antibiotics will have an even more detrimental effect to the health of the whole of society. It certainly does mean that. You need to balance these things. Be careful. Be cautious. How do you balance? How do you find that balance? Holy Spirit. How do you find the Holy Spirit? Forgive. Give. Humble. Serve. Be diligent. Seek. Be still and know. Quiet your mind. Quiet your environment. You know, people who somebody was just out here. They've gone back. They'll probably be back in a little while to take care of some of the things that we do here that most of you are unaware of. And we don't share all the time on the radio program because it's really for the Living Network, which everybody should belong to. And you find out through your ministers, and your ministers find out by asking. And many ministers do not ask, and so therefore they have nothing to share with their congregations. But then again, the ministers meet every week, and all the ministers can show up and ask what's happening in your area. And I could tell them all to do this over and over again, but I don't, because it's up to them to figure it out. And it's one of the ways I know if they're listening to the Holy Spirit, because they want to know, they want to share, they want to become aware of what's going on. And because I cannot take the steps for others, I can only take the steps for me. They must learn to take the steps for others. One of the policies we have in amongst the PCMs of the network, which are personal contact ministers, you must pick and repick and re-choose until you find one that's good. And someday those personal contact ministers may become ministers, but it's a training ground to learn how this works. This is elder-driven. This network is grassroots. That's the individual must organize himself, find his place in the network. We're not going to create an office, a place, a cleft in the rock, and put you in it. You must find that according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God will put you in it, and he will show you what he can show you today, and you must see that. Be willing to see that, even if it's about you, and mostly if it's about you. If God is only showing you the wickedness of the world, that may not be God, because that's a distraction. God's going to show you your own wickedness, your own hearts, because he wants you to clean out your temple. Knowing what's wrong with everybody else's temple, that's not going to save you. Knowing what's wrong in your temple, in your heart, in your mind, that's possible that that's going to help you be saved, because it's going to lead you to the truth, and it's the truth, the Spirit of truth, that's going to save you. Again, not the truth about everybody else, but the truth about you. You may learn something about everybody else, but it's not going to get you all upset. It's not going to get you all worked up, although it will probably, but then calm down. Be still and know. God's not telling you the truth to get you upset. Gurus and manipulators of people, they're going to try to get you upset. They're going to try to get you worked up. They're going to try to get you excited, but they'll drain you. You don't want that. You don't want to be drained. You want to be filled with power and energy. I've seen people go to seminars and stuff and come back, and they said, I just slept like a baby. I slept for 12 hours when I came back. Why? Were you up late? No. Just what happened? You were drained of energy by psychic vampires who were sucking the spiritual life out of you, and you needed to rest when you got back. You thought you had a religious experience. You had one. Not a good one. It felt good. Just like drugs can make you feel good. You got the opiate of religion, and they drugged you, and they sucked the life out of you, and you had to sleep for 12 hours when you got back. If you're really energized, that's not going to, by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be that way. It's just, it doesn't work that way. You'll find if you're really living according to the Holy Spirit, you won't need as much food. You won't need as much sleep. I mean, you can still sleep. Going to sleep is not a hard thing to do. People do wrong to you and you won't even remember it. Remember when so-and-so said this about you? No, I don't even remember that. Did he? It wasn't memorable. It was unfortunate for him, but it wasn't unfortunate for me. You know, that's okay. I'm not judge, but there is a judge. And you want to get close to that judge. You want to get near to that judge. You want to draw near that judge. And how do you draw near? What is it that you do to draw near? What's the word for draw near? That's where they get the word sacrifice in the Hebrew. And that's how you draw near, because God gives up his life that ye may have life more abundant. You must do the same. That doesn't mean to give to every bum on the street. It doesn't mean to pour out everything that you have to anybody walking by. That's foolishness. You need to be giving according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, but many people don't know the Holy Spirit. And why? Because they don't know themselves. When I point out the wickedness of the world and the wicked ways of the world and the covetous ways of the world, like the Corbyn and social welfare systems of the world, I'm doing this to bring your attention to the symptoms of the problem. The problem is you. The problem is you're not living your life for Christ. You're living your life for you, to make you feel good about who you are in your mind, not who you are deep down in your soul. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go down to that deep place in your soul where that unforgiveness rests and resides. And you must turn around and go the other way. The other way is see yourself, going back to the garden, facing the light, facing the error, not with judgment, but with peace in your heart. And that's where we need to all go. And we'll go there when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and I'd like to welcome you back to the kingdom itself. I'd like to welcome you back to the garden and the tree of life. The Holy Spirit that giveth life does not take it away. That guides us, walks with us in the garden of the world that has been redeemed by Christ. That's one of the amazing things I hear people all the time, not all kinds of people, but some people say, oh, I can't wait till I die and then I go and return home to heaven. God put us here. Christ came to redeem the world. This is our home. We should be blessing and keeping it. And instead, we are cursing one another with debt to covetous practices. If you want to see the Holy Spirit, this is an individual walk, but the outside path that we see our body walking in, the actual physical footsteps on this planet, redeemed by Christ, will follow a certain way. Now, the world wants you to go one way. They want you to, you know, go out there and get into debt. Somebody that I know of in Norway evidently recently wrote an article that very controversial about, at least according to her daughter, who is telling me, about the, oh, I said Norway, Sweden. They're letting in more and more immigrants, and there's a certain resistance to this, and some people don't want to resist it because it makes them look racist, because a lot of the immigrants are not Swedish in origin, and et cetera, but it's all a smokescreen. And one of the moving forces, and I say one, because it's often there's a number of different things, but one of the puppet moving forces in this is to bring more people in who will go into more and more debt, because when they go into debt, banks make more and more money. And they want to make money. And they say, well, look, they don't look at these as immigrants. They look at them as customers. And so they're a driving force in this. And, of course, the same thing we see in the medical society is the pharmaceutical industry comes up with a new drug. And it can make lots of money. And they are greed-driven, not compassion-driven. They're not really trying to save you. Recent thing we saw with all the, you know, the dousing people with ice water and everything, and then people started looking into it and finding all this money going to supposedly fight this disease. And when they actually look at the books, they find that so much of that money goes to traveling around and staying in fancy motels and huge, giant salaries. Very little of it goes, or a remarkably little of it, goes to actual research. The fact is I could tell you a way to cure all these diseases. You won't believe it, so I won't tell you. It's not given unto you to know. But if you were to follow the Holy Spirit, you could find this. And it's an individual journey, so I can't guarantee that you'll find it in this life. You may die of disease before that. But I know it can heal. Instantaneously. I can't make it heal because I don't control the Holy Spirit. I either conform to it or I don't. And every opportunity that we have facing disease or tyranny or political schemes or whatever is an opportunity to see the truth in a world gone mad with the lie. And so we're in the world. We have to learn to not be of the world, but also not of the ways of the world. So we don't want to profit from another person's disease or difficulty or trauma. We want to lift it from the shoulders of those who seek the kingdom. We don't want to lift it from everybody's shoulders because a lot of people should bear the brunt of the wickedness they have brought into the world. If they are slothful, they should bear the tribute of being slothful. If they are selfish, they should bear the burden of being selfish. We should not take that burden off their shoulders. So we have to be very discretionary in our charity, but we should be charitable. You know, Christ wasn't saying on the mount where everybody was eating the fishes and loaves, he says, oh, you can't have any, and you can't have any. He was generous at times. But he didn't always give it right away. There were times when he says, I'm not come here for you. You tell me nothing, I'm telling you nothing. He did refuse. People touching him all about him. Only one was healed. And they were healed just automatically. because there was an opening in their hearts to receive that virtue, that Holy Spirit that would heal them. Their faith. Faith is actually a vacuum. That's what faith is. The power of a vacuum. Trusting in God and not filling our hearts with anything else that is a substitute. Most religion today is a substitute for faith. Our faith is in our religion, and our religion is defined as what we think about God. So we will have our tulip theologies and our eschatologies and our robes and our ceremonies and our garbs and our calendars and our what have you. We'll and our feasts and our festivals, and we'll have it on this day and not on that day, and those guys are wrong and we're right. And we will decorate our minds with this complex religious faith that falls short of the Spirit. We need the Spirit of Moses. We need the Spirit of Abraham. We need the faith of Abraham, who would not settle for Ur, would not settle for Haran, would become a wanderer rather than anything else, help set up free will altars to take care of one another, gave of himself on a regular basis, sinner, but a repenter of sin. That's what we need to walk in that Spirit. And we cannot do that unless we see the truth about ourselves, because it's the truth about ourselves that really sets us free. The truth about the rest of the world, that's great. You know, you know this drug is bad, and this system is bad, and this system is covetous, and this is poison, and that is poison, and this is good for you, and that is good for you, and that's fine to have that knowledge from the tree of knowledge, but that's not what moves you. You should be able to drink poison and it not kill you. If you were moving from the Spirit and the Spirit said, drink that poison and show them that it will not kill you, you could do it. It's not always expedient to do these things, as Paul says, but that's, your faith is not about the outside external actions that you do. It's about actually listening to the Holy Spirit. But we're constantly looking for, you know, cigarettes or titillating our taste buds or comforting ourselves with outside stimulation, the world, the flesh, and the devil, rather than just being still and content in the moment, in the Spirit of service, if that is what God is calling you to, or righteousness, or rebuking, or whatever. You just do what God puts in front of you. And when he puts the truth about yourself in front of you, you see it. You do not turn away from the light and look at the reflection on the wall, because it will give you a distorted image. You must face the light about yourself. That is your cleft in the rock. Do not pull back from it. Reach out to know the truth about yourself. And when you design the way in which you react and walk in the world, you make those day-to-day choices. Choose to walk in the ways of Christ. This is why we're trying to tell you what the first century church was doing. The first century church was a priest to all nations, the same as Israel was to be a priest to all nations. The same as Israel helped out not only itself during the famine and earthquakes and fire and brimstone of the plagues of Egypt, but it helped Egyptians so that they bestowed gifts upon them as they left. This is why it is so important that we form congregations of record and start coming together and forming a faith emergency ministry auxiliary to the world, because we are to be the priest to all nations. When you gather in your congregation, you say, oh, there's nothing we need to do. Everybody's got everything they want. Everybody's so independent and self-reliant. We don't have to give anything this week because everybody's okay. Did you look out the window during your congregational meeting? Is everybody out there okay? Because you're in your room and you're not seeing anybody drowning. People are drowning left and right. They're being devoured left and right. You know, I walked into a room the other day, a couple of days ago, and I do something I've done all my life, and I hadn't always realized that what I was doing. Now I have a better grasp on it, but I scan the room, and I see somebody, and I know I got to go over and sit near that person, maybe even start up a conversation with them. And I've done this so many times I can't even count them all. And they'll be in a booth next to me or something, and I'm talking, and I know what I'm saying is being heard by the person behind me, or across from me, or next to me. I know that's what's going on. And so anyway, I knew I was going to go over and sit by that guy, and then we went and ordered the food that we were going to get. We were on the road, and another brother who was with us at the time went over and sat down in that seat, expecting, you know, I mean, it's clean across the cafe. It's way at the other end. And he went over and sat in the very seat that I knew I was going to have to sit in. I didn't tell him. Something took him to that seat. He had to pass up all kinds of other seats to get there, but he was going to that seat. So it was destined that we sit there. And the guy behind me is probably going to be the future sheriff in our county. So, and the conversation was intrigued him. Let's put it that way. But this is when you go out in life, you need to be following the Holy Spirit. You need to be, but you're not going to hear what the Holy Spirit has to tell you, because your mind, your brain, your feeling, your senses is full of false religion and full of noise and ideas, and it's also full of some evil stuff that has gotten into you because of trauma, and you don't want to see that trauma, so you don't clean out that part of your house. You don't want to look at that part of your house, your temple. You need to look at that, and you need to look at it with the eyes of Christ that only He can give you. I can't give you. You can't conjure it up. You can't draw a picture of Christ in your mind and then go out there and be like Christ with your will. That's what got us into trouble. It was your will. Adam's will. Eve's will. You wanted to know the knowledge of good and evil yourself. Make the decision yourself. You can't do that. You're naked. You don't have that power. And you need to see that. You need to admit that. And you need to shut up and be still. And let the Spirit guide you. And feel the pain of the quiet. Fast from the noise of society. Fast from the confusion of modern religion. And just be in the moment. And I could teach you little tricks that were, you know, ancient Jewish practices. But those tricks won't even do you any good. You know, when I say tricks, I mean like a meditation exercise. You know, how, you know, and the apostles were asking this, how do we pray? And he didn't say, repeat after me. He said, pray in like manner. And he drew a picture with a series of words as to where you need to stand in the cleft of the rock to maintain the office given you personally by God and the mission that He wants you to do. But, you know, when Moses was put in the cleft of the rock, he had to look and listen and watch. He couldn't hide. Of course, he didn't want to. When God was speaking, he wasn't turning up the radio. He was listening. His brain wasn't racing, you know, a mile a minute. He was listening in the moment. He who has ears to hear will hear, because they're listening. What does it take to hear God? Humility. There's artificial humility, and there's real humility. There's artificial patience, which we call tolerance. Are you tolerating God? You can't just tolerate God. You can't just imitate somebody listening. You cannot invent the religion of God. God invented you. You must conform to Him. So what you should be, every congregation should be forming itself and connecting with other congregations, and the minister should to talk with other congregations and get to know what they're doing. And they need to form a faith emergency ministry auxiliary so that they can become priests to all nations and not just another comfortable home church that is nothing more than a tiny social club. And I know some of you have the heart for that, but you need to take the steps in that direction, the physical steps towards the light, so that you begin to walk in those ways, not just individually, but individually together. And you could be amazed at what you could accomplish. I spoke to some TV people the other day. They did an audio interview that will never appear on YouTube, they tell me, or anywhere else. It's just for them. And I don't know what we're going to do with this, but they approached us about doing a program. And so we went, and we didn't want to slam the door on it, so we went to see how that worked. And I don't know how it's going to work out. Won't know for a long time. We're also going to be doing more radio shows on other networks in the Midwest, which is really important because they're going to have devastating earthquakes there in the Midwest, and we need to start establishing a FEMA operation there in the Midwest. And so we need to make contact, and it's going to cost us some money. If you want to donate to it, go donate on our radio donation button on the website. But we've got it covered right now, but if we get those funds replenished, we'll put more funds back into this. But we're doing this experiment to try to build the network, to bring more sheep into the fold of Christ. And those congregations that are forming need to start working on becoming that faith emergency ministry auxiliary that Israel was, that the early church was, that the altars of Abraham were, to be a blessing, because he was building these altars, and that's where he got all his support in order to save Lot and others from eternal slavery in another land. He was able to do something because they had formed this network of living altars. You don't even know that, because you've been going to a religion that is painted by another artist other than the Holy Spirit. But Christ came that ye might be saved, that you might walk in the ways of salvation instead of you're walking in the ways of destruction and condemnation and debt and selfishness and all these things. So you've got another spirit you've been following. Now, in order to be free of that spirit, you must see how that spirit has gotten into you and influenced you. Don't just look at the symptoms. Oh, I got rid of the symptoms, so now I've got rid of... You're probably a carrier, like Korah and Dathan. You're just going to manifest those same spirits because you haven't really changed. But anyway, I'm maybe getting a little too cryptic. Start forming that network. Start developing those lines of communications. I rabbit trailed before when I was talking about PCMs. We had a policy as PCMs and the network, personal contact ministers, that if somebody asks for the location of the free books, send it to them directly because they asked. Don't send it to everybody on the network. The PCMs get access to the group so they know everybody that's on the network. They can see all the members. And so if somebody asks, send them the link directly. Why? Because it creates that line of communication. It's following the policies of Christ. Ask and you shall receive. Now there are people standing on the street corner asking for $10. They don't receive from me because they're not... They've put on a uniform. They put on a disguise. Now, I have helped people on some street corners, but the professional ones that we see up in Bend, Oregon all the time, we don't help them. I mean, they actually have hours set where they take shifts, and it's all an act. It's a con. People don't see it, but they feel good. I gave $10. I feel good. That foolishness can make you feel real good. So, but in your congregations, you want to give, but you want to give wisely so that there is justice and mercy in what you give. You want to work together so that you become this network of brothers. So you have to see the truth about yourself, your own failings, your own weakness. How many people have you portrayed betrayed in your life, in relationships? Are you willing to forgive those that betrayed you? It will release you from that cycle, that repetition and that cycle. And so somebody in your life represents that cycle. You know, the person you need to forgive, they may be dead and gone, but somebody in your life today represents that unforgiveness in your life in the past, and now you can forgive them. It could be somebody, a total stranger, somebody you never knew, and you can be of service to them where you failed to be of service to others. You know, I know people who've never been able to have children, they never wanted to adopt, but they know people who have children. Help them out. Help them homeschool. Help them. Christ came to serve. You're not coming in the name of Christ unless you come to serve others in a way that strengthens them, which occasionally includes rebuking. So we're kind of going back over the cycle, but think about it. You individually, in the quietness of your day, sit still and wonder, where is my problem with other people? Why do I have a problem with other people? Why can't I think about the past or my past relationships with this person? Why can't I go and make peace with this person? Now, when I say think about it, mostly you have to stop thinking about it. You know, especially you people with active brains who think and think and think and think and think. Listen. Be still and listen. Don't reach for another source of noise and movement and commotion. Be still. Just sit still. All your brain will keep on racing. Things will come up. Be aware of the moment you're in with no distractions. Seek no. You'll hear every little creak and crack and noise in the room when you try to do this. Just bring your attention back to being there in the moment and wait upon the Lord. You know, I always wondered when Moses was put in the cleft of the rock and God was going to walk by, did God keep him waiting? Was it right away, as soon as he got in there, God just walked right by real quick? Or was this like suspense, waiting for God to walk by? Remember, these are pictures drawn in words. I don't want you to think this is exactly how it happened back then. But it is a principle trying to tell you how it works for you. When they talk about being in your prayer chamber, you don't have to build a prayer chamber. You have to be still. This is a position. Remember? He's going to make you stand in a place, a position where you sit and wait upon the Lord to reveal himself to you. You do not conjure up or draw a picture of God in your mind. You let God reveal himself to you. Now, we have guideposts in the Bible. Are you murdering? Are you stealing? Are you bearing false witness? Are you hiding from the truth? Are you coveting your neighbor's goods? Do you find it difficult to be still? These are signs. Accept those signs. Judge not yourself or anybody else, but seek together with other people in free will assemblies to become the priest to all nations, to live by faith, hope, and charity. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.